Verse 19 to 34, and I propose that since this is a long passage, we'll read responsively from verse 19 to verse 34. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, nor yet for a body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? Yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? But seek ye the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for tomorrow, all shall take thought the things of itself, for the faith of the day is the evil thereof. May the Lord bless the reading of his sacred word. As we have come to the end of the year, we make New Year resolutions. As a Singaporean philosophy, with the days going by, becomes more and more materialistic. It seems the general thought is to get rich quick, especially the young. Are you drawn to this rat race? In our serial preaching of the Gospel of Matthew, we very opportunely arrive at this passage that we have just read. And that is to set our thinking right in regard to living on this earth. What title shall I give to this long passage? I come to the idea, put money first, you lose. Put God first, you win.
And I hope that these two guidelines will help your thinking as you reorientate yourself for the new year. It is usual for us to set certain standards. What I must do during this year? Well, if you put money first in your life, the Lord here says you will lose. And he starts off with this: lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. This refers to the old times, even in the time of Jesus, when for security's sake, and you have earned some money, and there were no banks that was used by the uneducated, but there were banks in the time of Jesus. But those who were not taught, they dug a hole and buried the treasure in the earth, expecting, of course, that no one will find it. But thieves, somehow they have a scent. They're like a dog that can smell. And they find it out. And they steal your money and your treasure. But today, we do not do that. We put our money in the bank. And they give you 2 or 3%. For example, we have been accumulating our funds. And one of the things I would like to ask the treasurer is, where can we put in the bank that will yield the most interest? And he said, well, about 3.1% Citibank. That's what I read. And suddenly the session will become wild in the imagination. Oh, that is too small. Let us better do some investment in a more spectacular way. But I thank God Life Church session is very, very sane. We never go into that sort of a business. And so they take out the money and they go into wild speculation in a buying and selling of shares. Usually the stories I hear of those who indulge in playing shares is a tearful and sorrowful one. Not in every case. A friend of my sister, as my sister told me, just an ordinary person, sold her house for $400,000. And she began to indulge in buying these very speculative shares. At first she won, and that got her into deeper involvement. But in a few months, she lost everything and had to go to work in the factory, and she lived in a cubicle. All her life was spent on paying up the debt, the money that was lost. And so, her money was stolen by the thief of speculation. And then there are those who like to borrow, even at high interest, in their need, in their ambition to do this or that. And very soon, the borrowed money was hard to be paid. The money that he has borrowed is eaten by the worms, the moths, and rust of high interest. That is a sad situation. Will they turn back? Yes, some will repent. But others, like gamblers, The more they gamble, the more they want. In Perth, when we were there, we were evangelizing a couple. And the wife was very teachable. And even wanted her little son to be baptized. But the husband, though a Christian, had backslided into earning a living by gambling. So he was always in debt. He could never make it up. Why? Because there is a curse in gambling. It contravenes the 8th commandment, thou shalt not steal. And gambling is stealing from the person you gamble with, each one trying to steal from the other. So he could never gain it. Those who are involved in wild speculative trading in shares. Therefore, I like the gamblers groping in darkness. So here the Lord tells us, but if thine eye be evil, the whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? How true it is. So they are groping in the dark. They have lost their way. And they cannot get out of a very sad situation. And that was a young lady that was converted in the early days of Life Church, but she had not been taught yet. She just accepted the Lord, and I visited her. And she said, Pastor, I'm buying this lottery, and if I touch it, she says, if I touch it, I will give half to the church. I said, no, the Lord doesn't want your money. Besides, your money is a curse. There is a curse in gambling. But it seems to me like those who persist in so doing, and some of them may even ask a pastor to pray, you help me, and if I make some money, I will give such a sum to the church. Here comes the word of the Lord. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. God will never be party of anything that is not earned or achieved in His will. If we serve the Lord, we will serve the Lord with pure heart. Even in the matter of building fund. When we are building New Life Church in Woodlands, a brother pastor kindly said to me, we will organize a concert and make something like $30,000 and we'll help the church. I said, please, God never has such a scheme about holding a concert and then to give some money to build a church. If you do that, our building fund will greatly suffer. Because we stress, God's house must be built with worshipful money by the people. This being God's house, you bring your tithe, you bring your love gifts, that's all. But if you try to do this or that, or sometimes we have these garage sales, food fair, fun fair, God will not be served with mammon. All these efforts are mammon. So, if we put money first, in any way, we will lose. But of course, there are those who invest in blue chips, who really invest and know that by putting the money there, certain interest will be earned, This is legitimate. What I'm talking about has been the wild speculation. It is just like gambling. In any way, if it is not according to God's will, whatever you do, that project will fizzle out. But now we come to the second point. Put God first, and you will win. And where does it say? But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. Bank it in heaven. Bank it with God. And when you put the money with God, Jesus says, where your money is, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So if you bank it with God, your heart will always be there. Immediately you become a more spiritual Christian. You will be interested in the things of God now. You will want to glorify God and increase His kingdom. That is what it says. When you love a person, you will think of that person. You'll be devoted to that person. When you love God, you will do the same. Now, what are some of the things that we can do, that we can bank our money in heaven? There is one verse in Proverbs chapter 19:17 which says, he that hath pity upon the poor lendeth unto the Lord, and that which is given will he pay him again. A Christian, above all, is a charitable person, a kind person. If you are in a rat race for money, you forget everything about doing good. You cut your ties. You give God the leftovers. But we are now devoted to God. The graces, the mercies that God will create in your heart will multiply. And there are many Bible verses of instruction to remember the poor, to give to the sick, the lame, the blind, the weary, even foreigners living in the midst, you must be kind to them, as God instructed the Israelites. And in the Old Testament, not to forget the Levites. The Levites are the tribe from where the priests were chosen. So in a certain sense, like they are assistants to the priests. And God did not give them a territory, a portion of the landed properties, but just only the environments to the city, to remember them. And the Old Testament also says, the New Testament also says that you are to remember the needs of God's servants. Let them who are taught, instructed, communicate to them who teach. And in these respects, I'm very happy to take note from the back page of the Life Church Weekly, the paragraph of offerings received and offerings designated. And I'm very happy to take note of those who give even to members, pastors outside our church when they are sick. This is banking your money in heaven. And to take note that you are mindful in every way of those who are in need. Then the other thing is that you must support the house of God, bring in to the storehouse. And the famous verse is in Malachi 3:10, because the people of Israel had forgotten God, and they just bring in their leftovers. I remember many years ago, I went to minister to a church in Malaysia that had not a pastor for 20 years and dwindled to a membership of 5. And the preacher was an old lady of the old generation. For 20 years, no message clear from the Lord. And I was surprised that when I went there to minister every month, of course more people came. But the offering did not total more than $3. Nobody talked then. They just give 10 cents or 20 cents. But now they become so prosperous that they are able to support missions, having received the word of God. And so, it is important for us to recall the words of Malachi the prophet. Bring in the tithes into my storehouse, that there may be meat in my house. And I challenge you to prove me if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour out the blessing that you may not be able to receive it. That is a promise. And so I wrote this little chorus, bring all the tithes now before him. God has promised you who love him mercies and grace without end. He'll cast from you every sickness, he'll prosper you with good health, he'll watch over your steps with all keenness, he'll give you power to get wealth. One young lifer, when I introduced this song to sing, got very angry. He said, Pastor wants money all the time. We are so sick, we are so miserable, he said. He challenged me. Bring me the Bible verses that say these things. He had trying to induce us. Praise the Lord. Every line is based on the Bible. Do I want your money? I cannot spend your money. If I exhort you to bring, and even I exhort you today in the weekly, that close the account book of your life with a clean slate for 2000. How much tithe do you owe him? Is it owe him? This is basic. When the people did not bring their tithes, the Lord said, you have robbed me. And they say, what robbed you? The Lord said, in tithes and offerings. It is like a mother, I'm playing this role and urging my children. I gave it $1 every day for pocket money, didn't I? Yes. Did you spend the whole money? No. What did you eat? I eat mee pok, 50 cents. Then what happened to the other money? I'll put it into your piggy bank. I'm like a mother, saving for you. When you bring it to the Lord, it's saving for you. So the young man was explained to by one of our deacons that all the verses here are from the Bible, and the pastor is doing nothing but urging you to put your money in the piggy bank for your sake. Because every dollar you put into the bank of heaven is never stolen by the thief or speculation or eaten by the moth and the rust of high interest. But it multiplies in dividends for you. See if I will not pour you out a blessing that you will not be able to receive it. And one of the things is I will keep you from all the pestilences, from all the worms eating your fruit. How many of us have come to the end of the year healthy and strong, and you forget to give thanks? My, my, there are those who get sick, and I'm still healthy and strong. Did you thank the Lord? Or say, I must do something to express my love to Him? Or that they want my money, and so you want, just take it. What a wrong impression. But I'm very happy for this church, because you listen to your pastor. And I praise the Lord that you are mature givers. Because during the Christmas season, you have altogether given 160,000, the highest ever given. And I really praise the Lord with you and for you. There is a good reason why. Singaporeans are really well-to-do. Of course, you have got to work hard for it. But what are your basic needs? This is all given in the passage from verse 25 up to verse 31. When the Lord Jesus Christ compares the importance between your body, your life, and what you eat and what you wear. Isn't the body more important than the food you eat and the clothes you wear? That is the basic. God has given you good strength and health. That is more important. And what you need to sustain yourself, food and raiment are given to you. And the Lord set us an example. As long as he had food and raiment, sometimes he doesn't know where he would stay, even in the garden, overnight. But the Chinese will bring up the basic needs of man has a proverb. Yi shi zhu xing. They added two more points. Yi is clothing, shi is eating, then zhu is housing, and xing is traveling. Alright, we live in modern times. I think these are our enlarged, increased basic needs. In the old days, the people did not have the luxury of today. When a couple gets married, they have a nice flat, 5-room flat even. In those days, the whole family were crammed in one room, and there was no privacy. Anyway, there's a place to cover your head. As for travel, they did not travel very much. And so I would like to add the Chinese saying of these two added necessities. Housing, praise the Lord, for Singaporeans, housing is solved because you have a CPF and you have your HDB. And if you wait a little time, you can get your flat. Then traveling, I think we are one of the global cities with the, if not the best, public transportation system, maybe second or third best. So we have so many bus lines and MRT, so you can live an ordinary lifestyle. No one can say it is so difficult to live in Singapore. You have a bus lines and an MRT and you can move about. But suppose you have a job that requires using a car. If you need it, I believe the Lord will provide it. Let us remember, if we serve the Lord and put Him first, seek Him first, the kingdom of God and His righteousness, all these things that you need materially, He will add. He will bring it to you at the very right moment. And He tests you by not giving you early, but at the right point. So I come to my testimony of how the Lord provided my travel. When I started out, I rode the bicycle. Much easier than waiting for the bus. So it was very versatile. Here and there I can get in my work or visitation or whatever it may be. After 2 years, the Lord promoted me and He gave me an old 8 horsepower Ford Anglia. You know those little cars? They are no more. So I drove my father's old car. Praise the Lord, at least I get it free from my father. But the old Anglia is a saloon car with a rubber roof. And being an old car, the rubber cracked. So when it rained, my wife had to open the umbrella while I drive to shelter us. But this is still very good. The people laughed. I said, don't worry, as long as you can travel. After 3 years, that means 5 years, the Lord gave me a gift from somewhere, and I bought a new Volkswagen Beetle. That was really my love. In all my life, I owned no other cars but Volkswagens. 2 Beetles and 2 station wagons. Now I have a different car. It's a German car also. But at every stage, when you need it, He'll provide. Does He provide pastors like this and not members? Also the same. We are all children of God. And when we need it, He will give. So, the Chinese say, of food, of clothing, food, housing, and travel. To catch up with the modern age and needs, God will also supply to the time that we really need. And with God, there is no need of any effort. When He sees that you are honest and you are truthful and you are doing your best for God's kingdom, He will also take good care of you, because Jesus sums up, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. All these things shall be added unto you. Put God first and you win. The Apostle Paul sums it up very succinctly and very clear, which is most instructive, and it hits our heart. This is what he says, but godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. Food and raiment, as Jesus has said, you will be contented. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition for the love of money. And here's a test. Why you want to invest in this and you want to speculate in this? Because you want to get rich. And the Lord never teaches us to get rich, to be contented with what we have, and that is a limit. But if we who are young and we are very ambitious, no more in me, I'm old, I don't have anything to speculate or to make about. But I still trust the Lord. And then I say, I think I'm the richest man among my brothers and sisters. They have to borrow money sometimes. But I live by the word of my grandfather. Never borrow. And in my life, I never borrowed 1 cent. I loan, yeah, I give. So I become rich. You know why? Because you go according to God's word.
But they that were rich fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition for the love of money. It's a root of all evil. That is what the Apostle Paul has said. And in another place, he gives us a reason why. For none of us liveth to himself, and now no man dieth to himself. We are Christians, and our life is hid in God, and our life is content, is continually in the hands of God. For whether we live, or whether we live unto the Lord, and whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore die, we are the Lord's. We are not taukes. We are not possessors of all that we have. We are only trustees, stewards. So therefore, how you spend your money and how you use it, you are accountable to God. We have members truly who love the Lord. There's a couple who witnessed why we had the building of a new life on, and he said he planned to take a trip to Europe with a wife to spend that vacation. But because there was a need of funds here for the Lord, he changed it to going to Batam, just a few steps away. And that's all right, we take it philosophically. We have no need to see the Alps of Switzerland, but we can enjoy the sea breeze of the Indonesian islands. And so he said, we save this sum to give to the Lord. Whether we live or die, we live to the Lord. We are the Lord's people. Remember, it's the Lord who gives you the strength to make, to get wealth. Deuteronomy 8:18. We can never say, by my hand I've done this. You can never rely on your own strength, because if the Lord is not merciful, you may get sick and then you will be out. So today we conclude this long passage on how we live on earth in this couplet. Put money first, you lose. Put God first, you win. Which will you choose? Let us pray. Lord, how we thank thee for thy word. Truly words of life, words of instruction. How different from the scriptures and the writings of the philosophers, whether of Confucius or Lao Tzu. How thy word shines brilliant over the thoughts of men. Help us therefore to read the word every day. Let this be our new resolution of the new year, that we will want to know more of the scriptures. And help us to attend church without fear, that we may be instructed. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.